What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Scarhaven. How you guys doing?
Good. How's it going?
Doing great.
Good. Good, good. We had some technical difficulties, so we're going to try this again. So, like I asked before, you guys seem to have been pretty busy. You guys said you came back from Nashville. Can you hit on that a little bit more? Like, how was that trip out there?
Yeah, it was a great time. I was in a cast, unfortunately, so I played a show with a big boot on. But we met with our label, Riser House. That was kind of like a great experience, and everyone there is so welcoming and warming. But yeah, Nashville's a great city to play, and we got a lot of love there. So,
hell yeah! Do you guys get to get out around that area much, or is that like a first time for you guys?
Yeah, that was first time for the whole band. I'd been there visiting before, but as a band, it was our first time, and it was really cool to get to know some of the venues down there and some of the people. And we walked on Broadway and, you know, just like Music City. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Right on. And by the way, the hotspot was a great idea. We're rolling now, so we're good to go. But and another thing I asked you guys before about your guys' formation. I looked you guys up, and you're from DC, and you are now based in New York, I believe you said. So can you kind of hit on again about the formation and how that all came about?
For sure. Yeah. So in early 2019, I was living down here. Michael was in New York, and my band needed a singer. So I reached out to him through Facebook, and then we reconnected a couple years later because he had moved back and I had moved up to New York. And
yeah, because COVID kind of shut the whole city down. So everyone was forced to come back to, you know, home. And I was looking for something creative to do. I saw that they needed a vocalist. I reached out. That formation didn't really work, so I joined some other band. We lost our bassist, so with that band I reached out to him. He joined my band. That project disbanded. I joined his, and then I left that project to join his project with his band. That fell through, and then we decided to make our own kind of project up, and we've been here ever since. So it started kind of from there.
Gotcha. So when you think of New York, just in general, not even the music scene, like it seems like extremely diverse. And I'm kind of curious because I'm very unfamiliar with it. Like, how is the, I guess, in particular, the rock music scene there? I'm just, from the outsider's perspective, I'd assume it's pretty vast and pretty booming.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty underground.
Okay.
For the rock, I'd say rock leaning more metal. It's very alternative there right now. It's pretty big. A lot of indie rock there is big. You just got to know the right crowds and the right people to be able to play like pretty big, bigger shows. Or
yeah, and Jersey as well, just outside of the city, I guess I would say, quote, better scene, you know, for kind of like the harder rock bands.
Yeah.
But you know, New York has everything, so you really can't go wrong if you're just a music fan. But yeah, it's pretty diverse. So.
Yeah, and I'd assume a place like New York would be pretty easy to like network in and meet those people that you do need to meet. Is that pretty easy to do out there?
Yeah, I would say networking is definitely easy, and you should definitely take advantage of it. But yeah, I guess for our particular genre, it's a little harder to find those people. I've noticed it, at least in New York, the fans are easy to find, but other like-minded bands and stuff. But you can, if you do digging and you just try to meet as many people as possible, regardless of the genre or the instrument, whatever, what have you, the venue.
So. Yeah. And just going to as many shows as possible, just kind of creating your own little world of connections and the scene. But like Jared was saying, Jersey is pretty big with more of that, you know, punk, harder rock stuff. Especially the college house shows there are pretty big.
Yeah,
too.
They're fun. Yeah,
yeah. I've been hearing more and more about house shows. I never went to college. I don't know shit about house shows, but it sounds like it sounds like a logistical nightmare, first off, but just like insurance and shit, maybe. I don't know how it works, but damn, it sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Cops are always called and venues are always shut down, but it's a lot of fun. They're, you know, super informal, and you know, a lot of the kids are partying, but the energy is all that matters. So.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Was there a big change to you guys when you did plant your feet in the city and the Jersey scene too, like compared to where you came from, or was it pretty like an easy thing to slide into? I know you said it's very underground, so I'm kind of curious as to how that played out for you guys.
Yeah, it was definitely an easy transition. I think the music scenes are similar in that there's not too much like hard rock to be found, but we met our band members up there, and I think there are a lot of musicians to choose from up there. So it was quite easy to meet people and meet our band.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Is there more of, in a place like where you guys are? Because I've seen it in like places like Texas, like their scene, whether it's country, they have their own rock shit going on now. It's badass. They're, of course, you got Nashville, and it's kind of it's interesting to see the way artists work with each other. Some places it's very community based. Like I like the Oklahoma Red Dirt scene, like that whole area. I don't know how familiar you are with that, but it is extremely like only community. And it's a really cool kind of thing. Everyone's close. Everybody knows everybody. And then you go to a place called Nashville, which ain't really, it ain't bad, but like it's just bigger. There's a lot more of the business aspect, I think. I'm probably not using the right lingo here, but I'm kind of curious as to what you guys found yourselves in when it comes to like the sense of community and closeness and that kind of thing versus like the competition aspect to it and like the cutthroatedness of the whole thing. Is there a happy balance? Is there one more than the other? How's that for you guys out there?
I'd say the sense of community is more found online, because we've discovered a lot of bands that kind of are bringing that 90s, early 2000s, kind of just that overall kind of grunge, alternative rock side kind of back. And we're discovering a lot of bands on TikTok and Instagram that are bringing that. So we're always kind of like connecting and following each other or commenting on some posts, looking to play some shows together in the future. It's been a little bit of hit or miss to find that, you know, in person in these cities. But when you do find that, it's pretty cool. And that's how you make that connection, obviously, if you hear them live and you like that sound. So it's definitely on social media that you can kind of build that scene and that community up. Because when you see like one of our followers is following like a band that's very similar that we're also following. So it's all kind of interconnected.
I just think because the bands are very spread out across maybe the U.S. and even the world, really, because, you know, New York's massive. So
yeah,
think a smaller town that maybe isn't as involved in music or like known for music, would there be more community, which is cool. It's something I'm excited to explore, like in the Midwest or just other parts of the country to check out. So.
For sure. And like going off your guys is like, you mentioned like the sound you guys are really owning, which is to me, and that was what I was wanting to get into next anyway. So perfect segue is that you guys have that familiarity of the grunge stuff and it's fresh. And I think that's the key to it, because anyone could make like a copycat of a Nirvana or an Alice in Chains, but they need to have like, and I'm just a fan here, I'm not a professional musician, so just take it for what you will. But I feel like listeners want to hear that, but also new and something fresh that they haven't heard before. And that's why when I heard Changing, that's what I heard. It was like a new take on something we're familiar with. And I hate to do comparisons, but I mean, I'm sure you guys get the Soundgarden comparison a lot, stuff like that. But like, in all honesty, it is very unique at the same time, I think. So I guess going off that a bit, like, how would you describe your guys' sound?
Yeah, well, thanks for saying it's unique. We're definitely, we definitely pull from those bands, but we're not at all trying to replicate anything. Yep. It all, we pull from so many things. I didn't even know of the grunge bands until way later in life. until I started singing. I started singing way later in life too. I didn't know who Chris Cornell was. I didn't know any of these grunge bands really, because I grew up listening to a whole different genre of music, really. From my mom's side, and you know, Elton John, 70s R&B, Coldplay, U2. So I really had no idea up until later when I got introduced to these bands. I was immediately pulled to the truth and the raw that they were delivering on these in these songs. So
yeah, I would say, yeah, I guess like sound wise, I don't know. I like to, you see the term new grunge thrown around, people like it, some people don't. I do. Why not? Call our music whatever you want to, but I think just modern, hard rock, alternative. I mean, I don't think we're writing or trying to do anything too crazy. We just pull from the heart and pull from our influences and just write what we like. But yeah, you know, modern.
I mean, we'd be crazy not to say, you know, we don't know who these bands are. We don't pull from these bands, but. I mean,
I grew up on grunge.
Yeah, there's truth. There's definitely truth to that, but it's definitely not like we're trying to replicate or become that, a second version of that band.
Yeah, and I'd imagine not just with you guys, but you know, any band really. Like if you look at like Greta Van Fleet's first one that comes to mind, they all they get are compared to Led Zeppelin, like shit like that. It's like I'm always like curious to an artist, like when they do get compared to another band, whether it's more of like a flattering thing or if it's like, fuck man, like no, we're trying to be our own thing. Like it, like I think it must just be a matter of it getting old over the years until you just get tired of it, right?
Yeah, I think for me it's both flattering and could get old, but it's cool to be like compared to, you know, legends like that, while also trying to, you know, carve our own path. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's all up to the person, but I think it's cool, you know, while if those same people, you know, also see us for, you know, who we are too.
Yeah. And I think that is the thing that drew me in with you guys, is because it is something new. It is something fresh. And that's what I want to stress to the people listening, is that like that's what caught me with you guys. Like I'm glad I discovered it, and it was really, it's really, I keep saying fresh, but it is the new grunge. I like that term. I haven't heard. It's like there's post grunge and now there's new grunge. It's pretty dope. But so what do you guys, what is the state of, let's dive into that, I guess. Like when you look at the modern state of grunge rock today, because like if you think of like I don't know, there's some genres that are so placed they're placed in such like a certain time period, it's kind of odd to hear that there's like a new scene going with it. Like there's new metal bands, and when I discovered that, I was like, no shit, like there's stuff other than Korn and Limp Bizkit out there. Is that kind of like, is there like a good community of like the new grunge bands these days? And like, where do you find them? Is it all very underground, kind of like you guys were talking about?
I'd say it's a really growing kind of genre, new grunge genre that we've just been finding online, that it's kind of growing rapidly. Like these kids now are just kind of really connecting with that 90s grunge sound from the past and are making their kind of own spin on it. We've discovered a handful of bands that are doing pretty well now, growing, carrying that sound and carrying that torch in their new, in their own way. I don't know if you want to, we can list some of them, but they're sure, great. Yeah. They're great bands with great songs. So
yeah, like, you know, I think TikTok and Instagram, the main ways, obviously, some bands like Identity Crisis,
Sap is another one. It's great.
Yeah,
they kind of pull that Nirvana sound.
Return to Dust as well.
Badass.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It is really cool to see everyone hankering for that sound again, but like, you know, the new and new aspect to it, because we want something different, but we like to be reminded of something that we grew up listening to. And it's really cool to be able to toe the line and work both those into your music. And I feel like you guys do that very well. We were talking a bit about like the social media aspect to the industry today, and let's face it, it's a huge part of it. You can't avoid it. I'm sure you guys know that. Was that something you guys found easy to kind of work your way into, like maneuver the social medias or TikToks, any of that shit? Or like, was it kind of a pain to deal with, or a little bit of both? Or
I'd say starting out, we had to kind of find our footing. It was a bit tough starting out, because it was just the two of us, so we couldn't really represent what our sound was, just being two guys, you know, us sounding like a full band. So once we found our other two members, we kind of found a place where we could be represented well online, just having a four-piece band and just playing our music.
Yeah, I feel like it is a shame that like I'm sure most artists want it to be like the old days when all you had to do was make your music and then got fans that way. But it is kind of crazy how like a lot of it is based on like virality, and like you get like that one good TikTok that blows you up, stuff like that. But I don't know, it's a different beast. It's a different world, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a fine line, I think, if you're gonna want to do this as a career, you might have to sacrifice some other things and put a little more effort into social media, which it's just all, you know, a sacrifice if you want to do that. I mean I think not everyone needs to blow up on social media, but if you want a chance to, you know, really pursue music, it's important. I'm not denying it. It sucks for sure. It sucks for us for the first year, but I kind of was like, I don't, you know, I care enough to try it at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge learning process too. Yeah, like you have to learn how to be a content creator when, you know, music is just, you sit at home, you pick up a guitar or piano and write what comes from the heart. But selling that is online. If you don't have like that whole content creator kind of energy, even though it sucks, like you really got to kind of force yourself to do it to be able to get your music out there.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And now like moving on to like what I think is like, of course, socials, TikToks, that's important, but I think the most important is the live show. Like whether you're stumbling into a club and there's a band there playing and you become a fan for life, like the live show is what makes new fans, what keeps them coming back, I really believe. And I'm curious as to, first off, your thoughts on that, if you might agree with that or not. And like, I want to know what, from your guys' side of the stage, I want to know what you guys, how you would describe your live show.
I think it's very loose, our live show, very like a ton of energy that we deliver. Starting out, it feels like maybe starting out our show, we just kind of, you don't really know what's coming until that first song kind of hits, and it's just a blast of noise and energy, I'd say. And then it kind of mellows out in a very heartfelt, but true way in the middle. And then we ramp it up again at the end, and really just, we kind of leave everything out on the stage and really play from the heart to anyone who sees us. So,
yeah, I think right now we have kind of not so few, but some few songs to choose from to play live. So it's really just capturing the energy that we captured in the studio and bringing that live and just rocking out and hoping people resonate with that. And I would agree. I think the live show will always be the number one way to keep a fan, you know, and sustain, you know, a fan base and just really connect with people. It's the best way to do it. So.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up bringing it, bringing the energy from the studio. And I've been wondering that about that kind of aspect a lot lately too, is when you're in the studio, and you, when you write a song and you're like in the studio recording it, does like the whole lot, like we're going to have to play this live, how is this going to translate to a live show? Does that go through your head at all? Or is it kind of just like a really natural, you know, a switch to like, here's how we're going to play it live? I don't know if that made any sense. Basically, do you write it for the live show?
No, not in my, the way I decide to sing certain things or play or a riff, whatever, lyrics. No, I don't. I think it's important to be present while you're writing the music and feel what's coming from the heart, and don't worry about what's, you know, what you're going to do live. That's really important. So yeah, in my opinion, yeah, I don't think it, I don't write from to try to make something sound live, like good. You know what I mean?
We've tried to like the whole, like, oh, let's write a song to this BPM or a song that would make people sing along. I think we could try that in the future, but I think maybe the sing-along songs do come from just like a real place, and then it'll just happen as it happens. Like, you can't force that. But yeah, in the studio, we kind of just, we bring it really bare bones, the song, and then we'll kind of build it up and, you know, do it that way typically.
Yeah. Or also you box yourself creatively, and that's not, when you're trying to be creative and really deliver something from the heart and something that's true, you don't want any kind of boundaries or boxes around you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that just seems like the, yeah, like the most natural way to do it. And I like to ask you about your latest release. It came out in August, I believe. I think I'm right about that. Changing. And that was, first off, just so badass, guys. Like, honestly, like I didn't know what to expect when I first heard it. And I got the text from Nick. He's the one who like runs the company, Raised Rowdy. And he was like, dude, check these guys out. I'm like, all right. Yep, I'm impressed. So I loved it. And I guess first off, kind of a cliche question, but is there any like a story or theme behind it that really drove the writing process of this song?
I guess just the change that we're kind of going through in the world, pretty much was the where I pulled it from. I was in the middle of watching Lost Boys, and I was seeing how like these humans were turning into vampires practically, and but I looked kind of past that, and it's more so about kind of just changing, and you don't really know what you're changing into until you kind of focus on that. You gotta just kind of watch out, you know, if you're growing or you're changing, you know, who you're gonna end up becoming. And kind of looking at that at a more outside perspective, and focusing on the world and what's going on with our country or the world in general, and how much change is happening for the good or the better, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that really stood out to me was that the production is fantastic. And I was wondering, where do you guys record at? Like, who's the any personnel you want to shout out behind that too?
Yeah, we recorded that song in LA with Jim Kaufman Productions. He's we did that November of last year. And yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Ryan Mulder, assistant, and Brad Blackwood, who mastered the track. But Jim's great. He's believed in us from the start, and really
he pushes us pretty hard.
Pushes us super hard, and really, really cares about the song itself and not just his production, even though it's insanely good. And
he's like a fifth member of the band, because he really wants the best for the song, so he really pushes us hard, and you know, sometimes out of our own comfort zone to play around with what would be best for the song. So
like you need that, and that's like a really healthy like relationship to have with someone like that, I guess, because you don't want to get too comfortable, and having someone, you know, pushing you outside of your comfort zone, I guess, this early, you know, in your career, like, I mean, that has to be like a huge pro, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, definitely is.
We're lucky. Hell yeah. So I guess we could talk about, I believe, and it's funny, it was like right before I started this interview, I saw that you guys have a song on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My dumbass didn't even write it down, so I guess we could talk about that if you want to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
we, yeah. So what can we expect from it?
Yeah, it's coming out October 3rd, so be on the lookout for that. It's the energy's a little bit, I'd say, more mellow, more chill, a little bit different. We recorded it in Manhattan, actually, so it was pretty cool doing the music video
music
for
video,
that.
Music video, yeah. Wow. So yeah, it's definitely an earlier song written and then changing, but it's a different vibe, but it keeps the energy up for sure. And I think I can't wait for people to see the video too, because you know we care a lot about the music videos and plan that one with our director Matt Akana, and yeah, the New York vibe. So yeah, that's kind of what to look forward to. So that'll be midnight on the 3rd.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm pumped for that, guys. And before we head out of here, shows, like what are you guys looking at with like your touring schedule? Like, you want to throw any shows out there?
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead. You want to?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we have a few in October. One up in Nyack, New York, Washington Square Park, open to play there, just a free show. And then November, we're also in Clifton, New Jersey, playing at Dingbats, a great, great spot there. And then a couple shows possibly in Virginia in late December. And I forgot an Aussie tribute show on October 25th in Winchester, Virginia. So kind of up and down the East Coast. And we have some other plans in the works that we hope will be solidified at some point. So
yeah,
and we'll announce those.
Hell yeah. I'm pumped for you guys. And one more thing, if you like socials, website, just where people could find you, if you have that off the top of your head, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at just Scarhaven, just the band name Scarhaven, and on TikTok, Scarhaven Music. Our website, I'm pretty sure it's like
www.scarhaven.com.
Right.
And shout out to our ex in Twitter. It's an underrated platform. We still post on there, so Scarhaven Music.
Yeah, and our YouTube too.
Scarhaven.
Yep. Hell yeah. Well, guys, thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun. I've been really excited for this one for a while. And everyone listening, like, get on this band, because I am pumped to see what they have to come. Like, I'm glad I discovered you guys this early. I'll put it that way, because I could only imagine what's down the road for you guys. So, thanks a lot again for you guys hopping on. Everyone listen, also make sure to check out Rowdy Alternative. Raise Rowdy. Google us. We'll show up. And you two stick around for a second when we're out of here. And everyone else, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take it home tonight.